And we're going to hear a report from the Barbados trip, from the New York Fellowship. And then after that, we're going to break, and Chris is going to come up and give a message. We'll break for a short time. Thank you.
Okay, good morning, everyone. And I want to thank you, Brother Guy Berry, for this opportunity to speak to you. With respect to what we've encountered as we went to Barbados quite recently and gave out approximately 5,000 tracts. I'm sorry, 50,000. I left the zebras. I left a bunch of zebras there, but thank you, brother. This trip was actually conceived last summer as we were in Jamaica, a group of eight of us, I think it was, and we also had a couple of local folk who assist us, distributing, I think it was 18 or 20,000 tracts. So we put it before the Lord in prayer and started to look around for a package that would be reasonable enough for all of us so we could go to Barbados. One of the members of our trip actually was a Barbadian citizen who suggested that we take the gospel there because of the spiritual climate there. So God made it possible for us to book our passages and stuff. But then we had logistical problems that we had to work out with respect to what we would encounter once we hit the ground and who would be there for support for us. But God had his man on the ground, which we did not know. And a brother that's affiliated with this fellowship here got in touch with one of our brothers, who in turn shared a phone number with a brother that's over in Barbados, Brother Joe, by the way. So we got there, got off the plane, and we're standing around in the airport, not knowing what to do, where to turn. Strange land, group of people from America, standing around there. And one of the members of our party needed some wheelchair assistance. So the young man who had wheeled her out, asked if we needed to borrow a telephone. And she said yes, she wanted to call the phone number. So she called Brother Joe. And lo and behold, he was about 10, 12 feet away looking at us, not knowing who we were. And we see, Brother Tony, as a matter of fact, had seen this gentleman standing there looking, but did not know who he was either. Well, God had it that they walked over to each other and introduced themselves, and there he was, our man on the ground. All right, we got to the hotel. By the way, how much time do I have? How much time do I have? Because, you know, I need to share a couple of verses with y'all. And this may take me into more than 15 minutes. I want to know how much time I have. This way I can speed it up or slow it down. Just keep going. Amen. Okay, so, all right. So we got to the hotel, got all settled, and decided what we were going to do the next day. So we, our man on the ground there, Brother Joe, determined that we're going to hit the major city, Bridgetown, in the morning. And we would have to get there by 6 a.m. because that's when most of the folk are up and about going to work, getting on the mass transit system. So we, before we bedded down, the Lord placed it upon my heart that we needed to have a study to determine some of the questions that we might encounter and to look at some of the verses in the scripture that would actually speak to those particular questions. We know in particular that there was this one rhetorical question that we were going to find everywhere that we go. And that would be, no man know the day or the hour. From this particular tract, I'm pretty sure everyone is familiar with that question. So we got our stuff together, just like we have it here. This is how we actually handed the tracts out. And we hit the road about 6:15 that morning. Got to Bridgetown and we divided up ourselves and actually two groups, and then subdivided those two groups into four groups. And then we kind of spread out all over Bridgetown, in that general area where we were. Reception was kind of warm in the beginning until people began to realize the information that we were sharing. And then questions would start coming at us. How could you say you know when the Bible is clear that no man know the day or the hour? Well, thankfully, we had the night before prepared ourselves with verses such as Genesis chapter 7, verse 4, Genesis chapter 18, verse 17, Genesis chapter 19, verse 17, etc. I have a number of verses that we had shared with each other. So some of these questions would be answered, and we also had some interesting encounters where people just walk up to us and said, we want to thank you guys for what you're doing because we really do need this stuff here. there's actually no truth in Barbados. I had an interesting conversation with a couple of individuals. One lady told me she had just moved from Texas to Barbados, just bought a home, and she has been for many months looking for a church. But she just wasn't able to find anywhere that teach the true gospel. So I says, right, you will never find it because we are at the end of the church age. The churches are under judgment and God has commanded us to get out. So she looked at me rather strangely at first. She looked at the tract and then she says, yes, I think you're right. And she walked away, went on towards where the bus depot was. Another lady walked up to me about 15 minutes later and said, you know, I'm pretty familiar with the Greek language. She says that one of your party members just gave me this tract here, and I've been looking at it. She says, I'm pretty familiar with the Greek language, and I've yet to see specifically mentioned in that language where we can know. So I says, well, you need to maybe look a little deeper because the scripture is very clear that during the tribulation period, which started in 1988, the true believers would be able to know time and judgment according to Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 5. Again, she had kind of a bewildered look, but questionable. And then she said, you know, I need to do a little bit more looking, and she also walked away. Our first day was pretty eventful to an extent. We, I think, handed out maybe about 40 to 60% of what we had brought that particular morning by lunchtime, which was about 12:30, 1 o'clock. Then we decided to go have lunch. Interestingly enough, Brother Joe decided to take us to this area called Spicetown. This is a church community. As soon as we got off the vans and walked into the neighborhood, people started looking at us with disdain. And we were immediately called false prophets. So evidently the word had gotten, because Barbados, by the way, is a pretty small country. The population there is 280,000 people, from which is 30,000 illegal immigrants.
Many people have asked you to give your name.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just assumed everybody knew. Anyway, my name is Clinton Kettle. I'm from the Long Island Fellowship, Brother Tubbs. Right there, his home, we gather together on Sunday mornings. All right, so we got off of this interesting little town called Spicetown. There were some nice restaurants, so we decided to, on the way to the restaurant, to just hand out some tracts. Immediately they recognized us, I guess from the shirts that we were wearing, and they started calling us false prophets. Get away from here. You brought that whatever they call it, from America. We don't want it here. So we stopped and we would have conversation with a couple of people who were sitting on the side of the street selling their wares. And oh boy, they really got, indignant with us at some point. So we went into the restaurant, had lunch, and on the way back we decided, let's give it another shot and see if we would have any more success. Same thing happened. As a matter of fact, it was worse. I stopped to help, I think a couple of my brothers there who were having conversation with a gentleman and two ladies, I stopped to assist because I think this guy had this plan of salvation so wrong and didn't see where he was going with it. I decided, let me share a few verses. Let the Bible speak, I thought to myself. So I went over and I calmly asked him for his name and I said, let me share a few verses with you. I says, what I say don't mean much. What the Bible says means everything. He didn't want it, didn't want to listen, didn't want to hear me. You guys are false prophet. How dare you come here with this stuff here? And it went on and on and on. Now, day two started out great in the morning. We had a pretty decent morning. We went to, a marketplace or a nice shopping area where the tracks was really flying. In the afternoon, we were kind of riding around, to me, aimlessly. I think Brother Joe at that point was looking for a location that was busy. We stopped off at a high school, which we didn't think was a great idea because these young folk we thought would just take the tracks, put them in the garbage, or just rip them up, do whatever. So I was questioning Joe at some point. I says, why are we stopping here? I don't think it's a great idea for high school kids. He thought about it for a minute, and then he says, okay, we're going to go to another location. And he talked about this hospital, which, that was day two, right? This hospital, which they closed the doors at 4:30, and he says, you're going to see a sea of people coming out. We're going to attack these two locations, the entrance door to the front and that rear door, almost to the side of the building, going towards the rear of the building is another door. So we sat in the van for a little bit, and then come 4:15, we started walking towards those two entrances. And God would have it that he just kind of opened the floodgates, so to speak. These people were coming out, and just about every single person that came through those doors took a tract. There were several interesting conversations. As a matter of fact, this was the point at which I think I would say, get the witness that Brother Joe is a man of God. You know, things were kind of winding down, if you will. This was probably about 5:30 at this point. And I saw Brother Joe talking to this one individual. And I stood there just to kind of listen to the conversation. And what I heard coming from this man on the ground, so to speak, was straight from the Word of God. Something touched me that moment that I was telling Brother Stubbs last week. I immediately tore up. I felt my eyes just well up with tears. I felt like I was going to cry for joy, by the way, from what I heard. The way he shared the gospel and how this person that was receiving was looking with interest. I just felt, the joy just overflooded me so much, I wanted to cry. So that for me just was just a wonderful moment there as we continued distributing tracts. Day three, we were told by many that they had already received the tracts. So now we started wondering, oh boy, this is a small country. People are already telling us, oh, I got it yesterday. And they would come from their pocketbooks. They would show us a tract. So we started wondering, what do we do now? I mean, this area is pretty saturated. But Joe said to us, you know what? We have two groups of people that come into this city. One group in the morning and one group in the evening. The morning group, usually when you get them, you don't get the same people in the evening. So we said, okay, fine, let's see what happens. Sure enough, we went back out there. We went to this, again, shopping area. And it was, the place was so tightly packed, it was almost like shoulder to shoulder. And we were able to, again, just about empty our sacks. So we saw God work mightily as we were in Barbados. A couple of things of note. A Saturday morning, a lady walked next to me and she said, I wasn't quite sure at the time this is what she said, but subsequent to that, I found out that's exactly what she said. You guys are on the news. And I started after her to ask whether or not that's exactly what she said, because they have kind of a deep accent. If you're not listening carefully, it'll just go right over your head. So anyway, wasn't sure. I shared it with the group members, and I think the response was that would have been good. Anyway, a friend of mine that I've met there emailed me every single day. Yesterday I got an email, and the contents of it was, you guys did a great job here. The work that you have done here is still going on. The people are so stirred up. They're still talking about the tracks that you left here. As a matter of fact, I was told the conversation, as soon as that person had walked out of their building, the conversation was with a young man who had received one of these tracts almost 3 weeks ago, and the conversation was still going on about the time of the end and the date May 21. I also heard that it was on the news. Brother Joe, I think, sent Brother Tony a letter stating that this thing was in the newspaper. So thankfully, God is doing what he will always do with his word. Never let it return void, but accomplish that which it was sent forth for.